Blog Talk Radio.
Woman beg, and I make a good woman steal. I make an old woman blush, and I make a young girl squeal. I wanna be yours, pretty baby, yours and yours alone. I'm here to tell you, honey, that I'm bad to the bone. Bad, bad to the bone.
Welcome back, my friends, to Where the Music Never Ends. With the blast for all your mind. That was fine. But happy Father's Day on that note. Yes. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Late Night Poetry Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We are part of the world's largest community. That's allpoetry.com. And there you shall find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, Monday through Sunday, 10 p.m. till midnight. Come hang with our wild dove, Lou, and Nature and Passion on Mondays. Dig into the twisted thoughts of the Twisted Sisters on Twisted Tuesdays. Turn up the heat with the Art of Seduction on Wednesday. Thursdays are split between Inner Craft or Sullen Art with Rich and Neutron and Double Helix with Aphasiana and Dex. Friday, Come Fill My Eyes with Open Poetry. And Saturday is split with Gray Eyes Howling at the Moon in the Canadian Wilds, bringing you Bad Company and Ephrasia, Captain B2 and Dan. And if you're looking for a little more edgier realm, then please check out our After Midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30 a.m., Monday through Saturday mornings. Mondays are split between Hearts of L&P with Victoria and New Chapters in the Black Lace Diaries with Mr. M and Mistress Frost. Tuesday, Come Take a Walk on the Wild Side. Friday is a split between Crawling Into the Dark with Pam and Break On Through. And Saturday, join Aphasiana and Babila as they teach you the fine arts of becoming part sinner, part saint. Check out the contest and the prompts for all of our shows. Call in to read your poems and hang for the fun. And yes, it is Father's Day, so happy Father's Day to all you freaky guys out there. And how you doing, Gene?
Doing well, Rex, and how are you tonight?
I'm fine.
Happy Father's Day.
Well, thank you.
Very well. You're very welcome. Yeah. It's been a quiet day around here. I kind of like it that way. No fussing, no mucking,
yeah.
You know, all that.
All right, boys, go on out. Mama's tired, so daddies go out and have fun.
Yep. Yep, my son packed up, went out with his son. I was like, have a nice day. it worked out. So, yeah, it was kind of quiet. I liked it. Oh, shit. So, anyhow, it looks like you have a nice lineup for tonight.
Yes, we got like 6 down clouds. So, we got 19 on the board with promises to leave.
Excellent.
So. We got a good fair amount of goodies.
Excellent. And speaking of which, we have Dex joining us too, by the way.
Oh, cool.
Hey, Dex.
Good evening, Dex. Good evening, Phil. Happy Father's Day to all.
Dex, how you doing? Happy Father's Day, brother.
Doing pretty well. Thank you very much. Excited for tonight's show. Getting locked in.
The directions, they'd rather be locked up.
You know what I mean?
Oh, my God.
Well, better being locked in than locked up. At least there you got choice.
There's some wiggle room with locked in. There's not much with locked up.
That's very true, man. And not that I know from experience, but I have just an
You can just imagine. You can imagine.
I'm not going to say anymore. Yeah,
come on. With all your antics, you never spent one night behind the bars?
Me? Not one. Never, ever.
Yeah. Women have that luck. They usually talk their way out of it. Shake a leg. Show a fanny. A little bit of cleavage.
One night behind bars teaches patience. Everybody should spend one night behind bars. It's better than summer camp.
It is a nice awakening moment. Yeah, things are different in here.
I did sit in the back of a police car once. But the door was open. See, that's the difference. The door
oh,
was
God.
open.
See, even a little bit on that note, that's funny.
Well, one of the truckers had flipped a trailer coming around an off-ramp, and it was winter time. So when a tow truck came, honest to God, true stories, I can't make this crap up. When the tow truck came to get the truck up, I'm standing there, I'm freezing to death, literally freezing. It was my father's company. And, you know, the cops, of course, were there because you flipped a trailer on a main road, you know. And anyway, the poor officer saw I was freezing. He goes, "Do you want to sit in the back of the car?" And I'm like, looking at him, like, I don't know if I really want to sit in the back of the police car. But I said, oh, it makes for a good story. It's all good. Yeah. Can I tell you?
And you
I went
lived
in the bar at
tell
the corner, had a couple of shots, and then went and sat in the police. What was that, Dex?
Well, I'm just happy. Like I said, I think that this is going to be a fantastic show, as always, per usual, Late Night Poets.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Rex always puts on a mean music show, so I like it. It's all good. Hey, we have another caller.
Oh.
Let me see who this is.
Cool.
Hello, area code 816. Who's calling, please?
This is Randy G. Hello, everyone.
Randy. I knew you were going to say that.
How are you doing? Happy Father's Day, Randy.
Happy Father's Day.
Yes, happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there.
Very cool. It's good to have you, Randy.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Oh, God. Okay, Rex, what you want to do here?
We got through in here, so why don't we kick things off?
Yeah. Where would you like to go? Start at the top? No?
Well, give me something to read, and then we'll work from the top down.
Okay, let me see what I got here. Oh, I can't do that one. Before I can. Okay, tell you what. I'm going to grab this one, and I'll put this one up. Hey, Marius, happy Father's Day. Okay, Rex, whenever you're ready, I'll put up That One's Rock and Roll by Serious Clown.
All right. That Was Rock and Roll by Serious Clown. Bill Haley gave us Rock Around the Clock, showed us music in a different way. Chuck Berry sang Johnny B. Goode, and Buddy Holly sang That'll Be the Game. Elvis went to Heartbreak Hotel and came back as the king of pop. Jerry Lee sent his great balls of fire while Danny and Goode were at the hop. The others just sang Bye Bye Love, Bob Dylan was out beyond the sea, Little Richard was with Long Tall Sally, and Lloyd Price thought he was Stagger Lee. Paul Anka introduced his Steve Diane. Del Shannon told him he'd run away. Big Bopper talked about Chantilly Lace, and the Rolling Stones said, Love Not Fade Away. Eddie Cochran took Three Steps to Heaven, Don McLean made American Pie, Roy Orbison was lost in dreams, as the platter sang, Smoke gets in your eyes. When the music began to change, jazz, blues, and rock and roll got more electronic and louder, become rock, heavy metal, and soul. There are a lot more I could name, but I guess I'll just call them the rest. It's a long time ago, but I'll never forget. Rock and roll for me was the best. And punk. Thank you, Sirius. All right, Randy, why don't we start with you? What do you think?
Well, obviously, this was a wonderful tribute to rock and rollers from the past, from the very beginning, the early days of rock and roll with Bill Haley and Chuck Berry, and went right on down the list with Elvis, the Everly Brothers, Paul Anka, Eddie Cochran, Roy Orbison. I mean, those were the real pioneers of rock and roll back in the 50s and into the early 60s before the Beatles and others came along that really changed rock and roll altogether. But it's very well done, well put together, a nice kind of a historical piece. It read very well, and I really liked it.
Excellent. Thank you, Andy. Dex, how about you?
I thought it was a fantastic piece, and I don't know about for anybody else, but you came kind of in and out a little bit on the reading. But Little Richard, Long Tall Sally, one of my favorite songs that I still play to this day. I just love the references that are used in this because it feels like it just builds piece by piece the stepping stones of rock and roll. So fantastic job.
Thank you very much, Dex. All right, Gene, how about you?
Well, I have to agree with the guys. I do. It was a great piece, a wonderful tribute to early. It was a great job. All the references, you know, kind of get your mind going because, you know, well, to me, they're relatable. And I think that's what makes the piece work so well. Is because you can kind of, you know, you can kind of tap your toe with some of the thoughts in your head when you get started on them. So great job. Excellent work, Series Plan. And thanks for sharing with us tonight. And happy Father's Day.
Thank you, Gene. All right, there's three names in here that really kind of tick it off for me. It's in a Don McLean, Made American Pies. And it's true. And as Randy said, this is about the beginning. Two other names in here that kind of stick out. Buddy Holly, That'll Be the Day. And a big bopper, Talk About Chantilly Lace. 1959, their plane went down in a snowstorm. That would be the big bopper, and Buddy Holly, and a couple of other people to boot. The bopper was only 28, former DJ. Buddy Holly was just 22. And the other guy, that important voice on that plane, was just 17. And he was the one that was bringing La Bamba onto the scene, making the music his way, bringing out a Spanish style into the flavor of everything else that was going along with this, from the Everly Brothers, Elvis, Jerry Lee Lewis, with his great balls of fire. So this is a great tribute all the way down the line from the early days. Shouldn't forget those good old early days. You still catch a lot of these, like Chuck Berry and Bill Haley on YouTube now, with little clips of the early days in music. Nicely done. Serious. Thank you very much. All right, Gene. We're coming up back to you.
Okie dokie. Well, I'm going back to the top of the list. And I'm going to put up this piece by E.J. Cool called Drunken Whale. So let me hit the button.
Drunken Whaling by E.J. Cool. My daddy always loved the drunken wailings of Jim Morrison. What a loon, I used to say of him and his drunken wailings. Nowadays, I think I might understand what that lunatic was screaming about. But my mind wanders far off into the frozen tundras of Neptunian moons. Whenever I think about my daddy, I think about Jim Morrison. They both went by Jim, and they both died in unceremonious fashion, tragically, sadly, far too early. Both poets, both artists, often misunderstood and often overlooked. I remember sneaking into my daddy's bedroom at night. He'd still be holding a burning cigarette and always had on his giant Panasonic noise-canceling headphones, which were to me alien, but being brave as I was, I slipped them off of him, and onto me they went, miles too big. What a racket, I'd think. But I'd keep listening. My daddy always loved the drunken wailings of Jim Morrison.
Great read, EJ. Thank you very much for making the SoundCloud. We very much appreciate that. All right, Dex, why don't we kick it off with you?
You know, I love this poem, and one way I think that family connects is through music, and, you know, one way that I connect with some family members is through Jim Morrison, and, you know, for me, this artist is Tom Waits, and he didn't exit early. You can apply this artist in a lot of ways to your own. That's what makes a great poem. Whatever artist is that artist for your family. And I love Jim Morrison, and I really, truly do. And I think that EJ caught this one. It kind of caught me off guard on this one. So my comment is a little bit off from normal. But it hit right in the heart. So I love it. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Dex. All right, Randy, how about you?
Yeah, I thought this was actually a very warm and wonderfully touching poem that speaks, you know, more to her dad than it does to Jim Morrison, even though in ways they're interconnected, and she draws it out throughout the poem. But I just thought it was, it drew me in. Each line drew me in, and I was interested in her life and her youth, her father's life, and how it all played together, how she learned to understand it. So, yeah, I thought it was very, very moving, and I really enjoyed it.
Excellent. Thank you, Randy. All right, Gene, how about you?
I think that this was an excellent piece. I thought it truly captured the concept of Night Shell. And it was well expressed, and, you know, I thought it was just really well done. The memories and the thoughts and what have you. And I do want to say sorry for your loss, EJ. You know, that's the sad part about it. But I think that it was a pretty amazing piece. So great job, and thank you.
Thank you. EJ, glad you decided to do a SoundCloud. It definitely came across better in your voice than anyone else could have dropped in on. So thank you for that. And I think the best part about, well, the whole thing is good, but the best part about this is the equation you got in the middle of this of your father and Jim, and your father and Jim Morrison. They both went by Jim. They both died in unceremonious fashion, tragically, sadly, far too early. Both artists, both poets, often misunderstood and often overlooked. That says a lot. So it also hits on the note of you wanting to, even though you didn't understand those lunatic wailings or drunken wailings, as you put them, you'd slip off the headphones anyway because you wanted to understand that part of your father. And you'd even say, what a racket, I'd think. But I'd keep listening. That was your understanding of getting closer to your father through what he enjoyed, the music. And even though you still might not understand, you understand a bit more than you would have if you just ignored it to begin with. And you understand more of your father that way, too. So thank you very much, EJ. All right, Jane, we're back on you.
Awesome thought. Dex, I have one here I'm going to ask you to read, please. And here we go. And this is John Denver.
This is Scrapes and Scribbles, John Denver. He feels the little things in the universe all tremble, living through his living bones. The only thing to write it all is verse, in hopes the massive century might find home. He's cardboard and he's steel against the hour. He knows in part the language of it all. His friends are birds and sunshine in the sea. He doesn't know the language, but the call is all he knows, is all he'll ever be. That prince of poets hiding in the corn, that voice of the many hearts and many dreams, was freedom from the day that he was born. Was always so much more than what it seemed, than what he seemed. I'll love him as a mentor, as a friend. He taught me all the nature of the wild. He'll keep on teaching me until the end. He's all of my beginnings, my heart's twin. He's like an older brother to me still. support me. I guess he always will. And Paul.
Great read, Dex. Thank you very much. And Randy, why don't we start with you, please?
Yeah, this was that was a good read. And I thought this is very well written. I like the tribute to John Denver, who I personally think is a wonderful writer and storyteller. I love to hear his songs and his voice. And I like the verse where it says that he doesn't know the language, but the call is all he knows and all he'll ever be. He writes in the language of common people, and that's why his song struck a chord with so many people, and he's so beloved by many. And I thought this was a wonderful write, and I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Randy. Great thought. And Jean, how about you?
You know, I thought this was a great piece. I'm reading it and I'm going, okay. And I thought it was just a wonderful tribute to John Denver. And I thought it was wonderfully expressed, and I thought it was nicely penned. So nice job, Scraps and Scribbles, and thanks for sharing with us. Nice
thanks,
job.
And Dex, how about you?
Yeah, I thought it was a fantastic job about how artists can feel so close to you, to your family. You know, they can feel as almost if they've walked the same roads. You know, those country roads, especially by John Denver and these folk singers. People that sing from the heart, you know. There's certain artists that I just don't think can ever have that connection. They're the ones that are really typically on the radio, but there's certain ones that just can be so distant and so far removed, but can feel just like family. And John Denver is one of them. So very well done.
Nice. Thank you, Dex. Yes, I get this as a great tribute piece, but you might even call this on the whole, it's kind of shaped as though he's talking about a father figure. I love him as a mentor, as a friend. He taught me all the nature of the wind. He'll keep on teaching me until the end. He's all of my beginnings, my heart's twin. And there's some great lines in here. Randy hit on the call. His friends are birds, sunshine, and the sea. He doesn't know the language, but the call is all he knows, and he'll ever be. Great lines, as well as that one, that prince of poets hiding in the corn. Nice touch to living in the realm of the reworld. He did Rocky Mountain High, a great song, although that kind of got twisted. These days, everybody's puffing up there singing Rocky Mountain High these days. But this was a great piece, and it worked as a Father's Day source as well. So thank you, Scraps. All right, Gene.
Nice. Okie dokie. Well, Randy, I have one for you, if you don't mind.
All right.
Put this up. This is called A Dog's Memos by Jack Blue.
Okay, The Dog's Memos by Jack Blue. When the whiskey steed drives my master free, someone speaks to him like a witch of Grimm. Let it storm away if on Father's Day, when some nonsense show puts his feelings low, she appears aside and makes up his pride. Let it bloom away if on Father's Day, when the garden weeds play the seven seas, he must take his sword with some bags to cord. Let it dance away if on Father's Day. And poem.
Great read, Randy. Thank you very much. And Dex, why don't we kick it off with you, please?
Yes, I recently had a fantastic discussion with Jack Blue, and and just kind of got to know him a little bit more. He's just a very intriguing poet that writes from such a place that is almost cartoonist, but from his own perspective. And Let It Bloom Away, if on Father's Day, when the garden weeds play the seven seas, you know, this is such a perfect thing to go with fathers, because fathers are typically the ones who play the seven seas, right? Fathers are typically the ones that are a little bit more adventurous, that are tough to hold back, I guess. When the garden weeds play the seven seas, you know, fathers love to tend to bloom, and I think that he captured that on this poem very well. Thank you, Jack Blue.
Well said there, Jack. Thank you very much. And Gene, how about you?
Well, I thought this was an enjoyable write and an intriguing piece. He says it was inspired by, you know, Let It Be by the Beatles, and that's a great tune to be inspired by. But it was well done, and I think that an intriguing, I mean, you know, it's kind of have to mull it over a little bit and see the directions that are possibilities coming in on this. So nice work, Jack, and much enjoyed. Nice job.
Excellent. Thank you, Gene. And Randy, how about you?
Well, you know, I thought this, I found it to be kind of whimsical in a way, almost a fantasy type poem. You know, when someone speaks to him like a witch of Grimm, when some nonsense show puts his feelings low, she appears aside and makes up his pride. You know, it's just kind of whimsical in the way it was written. And yet it speaks to Father's Day at the end of each stanza. So I thought it was, like Phil said, I thought it was intriguing. And it was a fun read, a really nice write.
Thank you, man. Thank you, everyone. That's good comments. I've actually taken bits of the song and driven in some extra thoughts. I like the thoughts of Grimm, because he does enjoy putting in angles to Grimm, Shakespeare, Dante, and other items to keep us on our toes, so to speak. But the thought with the Grimm up top, the times of trouble, let it storm away if on Father's Day. And then that sort of she appears aside and makes up his pride, let it bloom away if on Father's Day. That kind of the thought to Mother Mary comes to me. So he's hitting off the voice in McCartney's angle on Let It Be, and offering up his thoughts to letting that stuff go if on Father's Day. So it's a nice, easy day, so to speak. Get rid of the trouble for the day. Get rid of the anger and anything else that might be going on. Make sure the garden weeds are, you know, stuff that the minuscule stuff that one might have around daily. Make sure all of that's disappeared if on Father's Day. Just for the day is a nice, perfect thought without the excess baggage and trouble that comes along with normal living. So nicely done, Jack. Thank you. All right, Jane. We're coming up back to you.
Just in time, because I have a phone call, so let me see. Hello, okay. 111. Is that you?
I'm just listening. You guys can mute me. I'm just listening. Thank you.
Okay. No problem. That was easy. Okay. The next piece I have is Betty by Betty Page, and it's called Blackheart. And I'm going to give that one a read. So here we go. Blackheart. You listen to black. Darkness, just as my heart is. I'm only sleeping. Help. I'm fading here. I'm just like the nowhere man. Your girl's a gypsy. I look around now. Everything feels so different. Miss how we once were. End poem.
Great read, Gene. Thank you very much. And Dex, what do you think?
I think that this is a fantastic write. You know, Betty Page is always incredible. But you listen to Black Darkness, just as my heart is, I'm only sleeping. She has just such an interesting way of playing with tones, with playing with quotes, with playing with feelings. And she captures it very well here. Perfect.
Thank you very much, Zach. Randy, how about you?
Well, as usual, Betty always comes up with a wonderful poem. And unlike many that I've read of hers on these shows, a lot of hers are generally on the sensual side, and this veers away from that dramatically. But it was a wonderful write. I like the way she incorporated several song titles of Beatles in it with the I'm Always Sleeping, Help, Nowhere Man. You know, it's a really different read for her, but I really enjoyed it, and I thought it was nicely done.
Excellent. Thank you, Randy. All right, Gene, you got to read it. What have you got?
You know, I have to say, I agree with Randy. A lot of the things we do read from Betty are sensual. But I think that she did a wonderful job with this. You know, all the song references throughout were, you know, well done and well placed. And, you know, I feel sorry for her sadness. You know, I don't know if her father's living or not. I think maybe not. But it was a well done piece. And I thought that it was nicely penned. So great job, Betty, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Gene. I was going to go along that very same line. There's a note to a sense of distance, and that last little stanza hits on it right in the ballpark. I look around now, everything feels so different. Miss how we once were. That note of separation, of wanting something more than what is or what turned out. So thank you very much, Betty.
Nice. Okay. Well. I have another one here. Rex, I'm going to have you read this one. This is by Peter Salway. I'm hoping it's before 11 o'clock reach. So, whenever you're ready.
My Dad's Favorite by Peter Salway. Record to spin, LP to listen, Grand Coulee Dam, some Texas moaning, Song of Progress, Dad dead by August, died in my birth month, screaming for morphine. By that gray and lethal lake, no stones to hound him on Mozart befriend, Beethoven conduct, Val Donegan fandom to offer heaven. Sad facts of his mutual education, mother's migrants, punk way over the horizon, Celine Dion in distress. Val, what's his name? Accompany the old man to heaven. Ask him to join in over there by the pretty women. Such a star-spangled audience to imagine to pull off with cigarette lighters from seats. No longer, long may you run, rambling born man. Song of India for chorus to sing. Mother's pick at the funeral. Flowers in the chapel of innocence. Death no more, a question. All sung then gone like one day Bob Dylan. Roy Orbison, Mozart covered in lime all around, tunes of stick cracking only sound. Father articulate at last in an alternate universe of verse, watching that lake go past, sunset shining, sirens of time and distance singing. Now and when, Hindu mountains, cows grazing, sheep praying, space of endless time, driving home, Dad humming back then. And on.
Thanks.
All right, Randy, why don't we start with you? Randy, you there? No? Dex, how about you?
Yeah, this is a, as usual, this is a very intriguing write by Peter Solway. Song in Progress, Dad Day, and By August. By that gray, the lethal lake, no stones to hound him. Mozart befriend, Tove and conduct. It sounds as if to me, almost like if Dad's era of music passed him by, and then he, you know, the transition into rock and roll can leave somebody alienated. And I feel like that's where this, where Peter Solway's father is in that in between. Because there's the old fashioned music, there's what music is. There, you know, that almost goes without saying about all fathers, right? It's like, will you shut that music up to a certain extent? you know, when music transitioned into what we know as rock and roll, I don't know if there's any bigger transition. So I think he captured that very well.
Thank you very much, Dex. And Gene, how about you?
Well, I think it was a nicely written piece by Peter. And, yeah, I think he did a nice job putting it together. Yeah, I think he captured that vibe. You know, Dex, I agree with you. You know, I think every father says the same thing. You know, every generation does the same thing to the next. It's kind of amazing. And so it was well captured in that respect. So nice job, and thank you so much, Peter.
Thank you. I think, Dex, you were on to something there. There is a notion of maybe the enjoyment was he did get to groove a little bit into the next, but there is also a note of sadness because he hits on the gray and lethal lake, no stones to hand him on. But he also saw the articulate at last in an alternate universal verse. So I'm thinking that during the final days, I guess, with this, he couldn't enjoy the music because he couldn't remember what he did enjoy. Maybe a little bit of Alzheimer's on the back end. But the thought he's offering up here is Mozart befriends, Beethoven conduct, Val Donica fan then off to heaven. So there's a notion of almost being an orchestra-led conduction into the next realm. There is a note to Celine Dion, then the pretty women, the star-spangled audience with nice touch. So the cigarette lighted. Then he throws in Ramblin' Man, a little bit of Allman Brothers as well. And what else? Song of India, the chorus to sing, Mother's Picket at the Funeral, Flowers in the Chapel of Incense, Death, No More a Question. Then offers up Bob Dylan and Roy Orbison and Mozart. So it kind of sounds like he had a nice, well-rounded thought for music. But the back end, he hits it, driving home, I mean, Peter, Dad humming back then. There's that nice note of remembrance of Dad humming the tunes rather than singing, maybe. So nice touch, Peter. This was definitely in your style, but it was a bit different too, which I enjoyed. Thank you very much.
Awesome.
All right, Gene.
Awesome.
Go back to you.
Randy, yes, I'll get to you. I have one more, and then I'll come to
Randy,
you.
Randy, you back?
Yeah.
Yes, came back.
Oh, yeah, how about a comment from you, Randy?
I missed the poem. I was
out
of the room. I'm sorry.
No problem.
Okay. I have an audio for this one, and then I'm going to come to you, Randy. So this is by David Ireland, and it's from the day that Elvis died. Here we go. Thank you.
Asian boy, I heard my quiz down at the Green Cafe. The coffee there was frothy, the jukebox bled all day. The eggs were fried in real cream, and Johnny ruled the play. Now Johnny's dead and buried, and what hair I have is gray. We hunted birds down at the wreck, our innocence at cost. While the stone has been filled and teased my David Frost. As we dine on Gypsy Hedgehog at the sign of the cross, the bells will beckon brightly, singing, all your souls are lost. Through all the fullness in the skies, the fish are kings and dragonflies, a wreck with a thread and tie. The clarion call of rubber tongues told of the thrill we idolized. The trucker boy who changed our lives, brought us home, scandalized. Three books, 4 years of black and white, he brought us home, the brighter skies. A light seen through another's light.
Particularly like the first and last stanzas, but the whole thing was very well done. And actually, as he was singing it, I had the feeling it was almost Bob Dylan-ish in the delivery in some of Bob Dylan's early days of something he'd do, maybe a little more up-tempo than Dylan's, but it had that lyrical flavor to it. And that last stanza, we stayed at a crowded B&B in a small forgotten square where the sound of sweethearts moaning drifted on the air, where checking in was easy and the color code was black. There's the veil of tears that blinds our eyes and we're never going back to the day that Elvis died. I mean, yeah, very well done. It's these kinds of song poems are very pleasing to the ear and fun to listen to. I really liked it.
Excellent comment. Great catch there, Randy. Thank you very much. And Dex, how about you?
I agree. After Randy says that, you know, the way that he drags out his his words is very Bob Dylan-ish. And I thought that the music and everything around this was just fantastic. And I had no idea. It was caught me off guard. It was unexpected. So very well done, David Ireland.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Dex. All right, Gene, how about you?
You know, I thought this was an excellent reminiscent piece. He hit on so many memories and thoughts and such. I thought it was well penned, and I thought the audio was fabulous. And I have to agree with the guys. I mean, there's not a bad spot in this, really. It was a catchy tune. It was easy to listen to. The memories, a lot of them to me were hit home. They hit a chord with me. And, you know, not, of course, not everyone's going to say that because some people weren't around in during these times. But it was a great piece, and well done, David. Thank you for sharing.
Great comments, guys. So I guess I got to make it unanimous. This, you're right, Randy. This does have that touch of a Bob Dylan with an up-tempo beat and a style to it. I even like the thought of the touch of nonsense rhyme or lyricality to it. The eggs were fried in burial cream, and Johnny ruled the play. Now Johnny's dead and buried, and whatever I have is gray. So there's that nice note of interplay of making fun of oneself as well in the moment. And the thought of, and we dined on Gypsy Hedgehog at the signing of the cross, till the Bethel beckoned brightly, singing all your souls are lost. Because that almost comes across like a touch of American Pie there. And I did like that repeat stanza. Through August morning's bluest skies, with fisher kings and dragonflies, over accident, aqueducts, great heaven tide, the fairest winds, the driest eyes, reading headlines of surprise, the day that Elvis died. Now, everything else was wonderful, too. A great piece, wonderful tune, and the production was wonderful as well. Thank you very much, David. Excellent. All right, Gene. We're coming back to you.
Thank you. Well, in that case, I'm going to put this next piece up for Randy G. So, Randy, whenever you're ready.
Okay. I wrote this, you know, Father's Day can be very different for different people depending upon their fathers. Some of us had good fathers and some didn't. So Father's Day can mean different emotions to different people. And I remember the song In the Living Years, and that kind of inspired this, loosely inspired this poem, which is titled In the Living Years. People are individuals, some good, some bad, no exceptions, even concerning sons and dads. Each generation smarter than the one before. Inevitably, reality comes knocking on the door. And Junior finds he's a prisoner of Dad's genes, which set off unheard internal primal screams, deafening him to any, all logic. Nothing's clear. Tragically, it went unheeded in the living years. Grows into a man repeating Dad's mistakes and remembering their talks. His heart breaks. All those stupid quarrels from the distant past, reminding him of his legacy. That die was cast, disrespecting Dad's experience or perspective until now, in a moment of clear introspective, and regretting they could never see eye to eye, also that he was out of town the day he died. Now on Father's Day, he's feeling so ashamed, unworthy of any honor, his guilt unrestrained. It's all too late now, nothing left but bitter tears. Wished he had listened to Dad in the living years in poem.
Great read, Randy. Thank you very much. All right, Gene, why don't we start with you, please?
Wow. This was a wonderful write, Randy. Heartbreaking, you know. He went father to son, mother to daughter. A lot of times this is truth, you know, just so many arguments and things through the years, and you know, we regret them as we get older, but I think that this was just fabulous. It was so well written and so well put together. And it really touched my heart, and I have to thank you for that. It's a great piece. Just excellent. So thanks for sharing with us tonight.
Thank you, Phil.
Nice, Gene. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And Dex, how about you?
Yeah, I thought that this was a fantastic piece. And, you know, there's so much of it that, like this, you know, until you're in those shoes, you don't really quite understand it. You know, until, you know, a lot of people talk about, even this might be a little bit off, but credit and having money and all of these things, you know, you don't really quite understand it until you're there. You know, and until you're a father, and until you're in those shoes, you know, and why somebody's doing those things you do. And a lot of times as that rebellious youth, you look at all of it as if it was a bad thing that was hurting you. But the reality is, it was just a father a lot of times that was doing the best that he could for it in the moment. And I've recognized that. I applaud you in your transparency, and I think that this will help in the healing. You know what I mean? And I think that the genes and everything like that, it all runs through. I find myself standing like my father. So as long as you can recognize that. This and come to grips with this, I feel like it'll come to grips and it'll touch him too, because it all runs through the same. So I love this write.
Thank you, Dexter.
Great comment there, Dex. Thank you very much. I gotta agree with Dex there, Randy. This is one of those heartfelt pieces. It hits home and it reminds us, We all screw up, and being sons and fathers, we not can't, and we all think we're smarter because we're the new you, the new age coming up. Yet we don't actually know shit in the moment, despite the fact that we claim we know everything. And the unfortunate part about that is we don't get to realize that or own up to it until we're older. I think the best stanza you got sits right here in the middle. He grows into a man, repeating dad's mistakes. I'm remembering that talks, his heart breaks. All those stupid quarrels from the distant past, reminding of his legacy, that die was cast. There's a note in there to an understanding in the moment of, dad was only trying to teach me, tell me what he did wrong so I wouldn't make that mistake, yet I ignored that fact, and I ended up making those very same mistakes. So which brings it kind of full circle to the point of, I own what it is. My father did the same. So in essence, you really haven't walked that far off from each other, even though you might not have been able to offer up the apology that you'd be thinking of it in the latter end, where you hit on that feeling so ashamed, unworthy of any knowledge, quote, unrestrained. It's all too late now, nothing left but bitter. Wish to listen to dad in the living years. There's that note of truly understanding. And I don't think you get lost in that because he still lives in you. So in essence, you are your dad. Your dad is you. And everything in between is what you shared. So don't feel bitter. Don't feel sad. We might learn the hard way, but we do learn. And it's up to us to try and teach for the next generation, even if it doesn't stick. So, great piece, Randy.
Thank you very much, Rick. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Oh, and I like the fact that you chose Mike and the Mechanics too. Nice touch there, especially since he was a founding co-member of Genesis.
Yeah, it's a very touching song, and you know, I've realized through all the years, my brother and I talk frequently about the fact that our dad did the best that he could. He may have come up short at times, but I've probably come up short more times than him. So it's the way it plays out.
Yep.
Absolutely. We can only Fathers can only do so much. Everything else has got to come from the other side when it comes to learning.
Yep. You guys, thank you for your kind words.
It's tough in a crooked. It's tough in a crooked world. You know, it's tough in a crooked world when you're trying to do all you can too. You know, so it's you're also releasing your son. You're releasing your son into the quicksand in a sense. So.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Oh, you're very welcome, Randy.
Have a great night, and thanks for calling in.
Thank
Good
you,
Randy.
I will.
Thank you.
You too.
Catch you next time, bud. Okay. Now, the next piece I have, I'm going to put up for Dexter. And I have to step away for a second. So after Dex is done, just talk real slow. Okay. I promise I'll be right back.
All right.
All right. This is by Marv. No, I'm just kidding. No, this is by Marvin Goldfarb. My dad in baseball. My dad and I always watched the Giants play. The Polo Grounds was only a mile away. In bleacher seats, we bought hot dogs for treats. And we would cheer the plays of the great Willie Mays. I'm still a Giants fan to this day, even though the team is 3,000 miles away. And on my computer, I follow play-by-play and poem.
Great read, Dex. And Marvin, this boy, this takes back in time to the 50s when it comes to the thoughts of the Polo Grounds. Wow. And obviously, song, Take Me Out to the Ball Game. This does speak of those days 60 years ago when father and son time was going to a baseball game. Take Me Out to the Ball Game was sung as the thought of hot dogs, peanuts, popcorn, and Cracker Jacks, along with hot dogs, was the thing for ball games. And it is when a father and son got to gel in those moments of play-by-play action and getting to see those great players like Willie Mays and others amongst us. Back then, these were the days when the Dodgers, the Giants, and the Yankees were always in the World Series, and it was always being played in New York in one of the three stadiums. So I much enjoyed this, and a great piece of memory, starting nostalgia there, Marvin. Thank you very much. Dex, how about you?
Yeah, there's something that always kind of connects, and it could be connected between males and fathers and grandfathers between sports. And my dad in baseball. Sometimes baseball and sports is the only language that father and sons and grandsons and grandfathers speak. And but it's a language they know. And so it becomes a beloved thing between them. And what nostalgia between this. I thought this was fantastic, right?
Oh, absolutely. Because you know what? The arguments over baseball are not something that leads to trouble. The arguments are friendly. They're boisterous. And it's always about who's better than who, which pitcher did well that day. So it's all over those little things you notice in the game itself, which always brings out the joy. So the arguments, even later in life, when you're still going and drinking beers and having fun at the stadium, the arguments are always in jest. They're never to the heart or mean or nasty. They're in fun and just going back and forth with with what you two have grown to love in the first place. Because, like you said, it's a language that is understood and you can have that friendly banter, and it doesn't lead to anything more than laughs at the end of things. Yeah, I told you he was going to knock that one out, didn't I? Yeah, Dad, sorry about that. Little shit like that. So
it's perfect. Perfect.
Yeah, it is. I mean, those times, I mean, hell, you can't even afford to go to ball games these days. Most people.
No.
That's unfortunate.
But there's things like that that tie us together like a ball and chain, you know what I mean? And And there's certain things, like I said, you know, you can disagree on a lot of things. Sometimes you agree on having a love for the same team, you know, and being excited about this season, you know. And so I don't know. Like I said, something about it is definitely fitting of a Father's Day poem, and we needed a sports poem for today.
Oh, definitely. It wouldn't be the same without it. Ah, Gene, you're back.
Yes, I am. And I have to agree 100%. I didn't hear your comment right, but I have to agree with Dexter. It's a great poem for today, and I thought it was just a fabulous share, and it was well expressed, and I really enjoyed it. I love how he went back onto those memories of going and watching the game, and, you know, I thought it was wonderful. So perfect poem for today, and thank you for that, Marlon. Mm-hmm.
Well, I swap back it to you.
Oh, it's my turn again. I forgot. What is that?
Well, thank you for letting everyone know, Andy. Thank you.
Where is the sound coming from? Wow.
Kyle Richards.
Kyle,
like
I'm hearing things. I don't know what that is. And it went away. Wow. Now that was trippy, okay? I have nothing open on my desktop at all, so I don't know what that was. Okay.
I didn't do it.
On that note, that was strange. No, I could hear it come. No, I think it was. I don't
but
know.
But that funny thing is, that's not the first time we've had a little interjection like that.
Yeah, that was odd. Very odd. Yeah, I had to stop and on the panic string. Sometimes I have Facebook open on the side, like another tab. I don't even have that open, so I feel innocent. Okay, here we go. This one, I'm going to read the next one. It's called To My Father by Teresa F. So here we go. Will you turn my twisted plate into a bowstring for my arrow? Will you hold me as I weep as I fly with my feathers of snow? Will I outfly the golden eagle while he is on the wing? Will you turn my twisted plate into a bowstring for my arrow? End poem.
Great read, Gene. All right, Dex, what do you think?
I thought this was a fantastic write. You know, a great metaphor used throughout. It's almost like straight as a crooked arrow. You know, you fly as straight as the arrow that shot you, or whatever. You know, the golden eye. I think that it has a lot to do with the genes in your upbringing, about the trajectory of your shot as the arrow. And so I thought that this was very fitting and very well done.
Excellent. Thank you, Dex. All right, Gene, how about you? You got to read it.
I know, but I'm not so quick on being right with this either. Will you turn my twisted plaid into a bowstring for my arrow? That's a brace, so I'm a little lost, I have to admit. So, Rex, how about you tell me what it's about, and then I'll come back and say I really liked it.
All right.
I did like it.
I'm thinking the twisted plate is our hair, you know, twisting it mm-hmm. into, what, three or four strands to make whatever they call it, I forget. And you put
a braid.
Anyway. I think that is a matter of will you steer me in the right direction? And then will you hold me as I weep and as I fly with my feathers of snow? The feathers of snow, that there's a note of purity in that. So there's a holding my innocence. Will I fly the golden eagle while he is on the wing? Now that is once you've put me on the straight path and you protected my innocence, have you shown me enough that I fly high as that golden eagle? Do my best, hit the world in full stride. And then again, that thought, will you turn my twisted plate into a bowstring for my arrow? That the repetition hits on that note of almost a plead to make sure that I am pointed in the right direction, so to speak. So I like that. And the metaphor, and it's great.
Good thing I have you around, because I was like a little lost in it. But then when you started explaining it, I'm going, oh, yeah, I can see it now. I can see it now. So that was very helpful. But I love the way it was written. I really did. I just wasn't catching on real quick. It's not your fault, Teresa, trust me. Yeah, wonderful piece. It really was. And see? Yeah, your thoughts on that just seem spot on. So great job, Rex. Thanks for that.
Hey, I'm good for a few things here and there.
I might
very well be wrong, but it kind of stung on that note.
Well, you know, when you were saying it was making perfect sense to me. But, you know, it's funny because like, sometimes I really am completely lost. You know, that's no surprise then for whoever listens. But I really didn't know where this was going. And then all of a sudden, you know, when you started talking, everything started clicking in my head, and I'm going, yeah. Mm-hmm. So definitely, I think I agree with you. And whether Teresa does or not is another story, but I think I agree with you.
Well, I do believe Teresa's listening, and so.
Well, we'll find out. Maybe she'll write and tell you. Thanks, Teresa. Sorry. I don't mean to use it. I just was like, you know, sometimes you just get a little out of right. Boy, you know how that
is. Oh, okay. I get there, too.
Yeah, like, you know, sometimes I just feel like I'm on a whole different planet. Like, what am I doing here? But,
I'm the alien in the room.
No. Trust me, sometimes I'm really thankful to have somebody else that can kind of, I can kind of listen to and go, yeah. Okay. Now I forgot where I was. Now I know. So, Rex, I have the next one up for you. Well, almost up for you. And this
Okey-dokey.
Is the record. It's a rat. Now, maybe I should save this for Dex. No, I'm saving this one for Dex. Dex can do it.
Okay.
Oh, I just clicked one. Yeah.
So who's up right now?
You know what? I can do that. Dex, can you read this next one for us? Thanks.
Yeah, perfect.
Oh, wait a minute.
Absolutely. A wrap. So this is Dylan.
Hang on 1 second. What were you going to say, Rex?
I didn't get a
we'll
this
one's
still pending. No.
Oh. Never mind. I thought it would be good for Dex.
Yeah, I didn't hear from Dylan.
That's all right. We'll cancel that idea out for now. Okay. Let me go back. Stay out of trouble here. I get in enough trouble. You know, fill the can in my hide if I get it wrong. What's that, hon?
I said I could read mine.
Yeah, hurry. I got a bunch of
time. I'm just kidding. I'm always nice, you know.
Well, it's quarter after 11. We still got a few minutes. I'll let you read yours, I promise. Let me go up here. Let me see. Okay, I did that one. This one. Okay, well, the next one that I have on the board is... it has a sound class. Let me put that up so I can move down the board and not lose anything. Yeah, like that's possible. Here we go. This is by S. Sharp, and it's called Swinging With You.
Swinging With You. Come swing along to a time when happy days was a description of life. Let the trombone slide. Oh my! Turn and do it again. Big band playing, horns blaring, rat-a-tat-tat, let them roll to the beat of a snare drum. You didn't answer my swing dancer, but last night I called you on my saxophone. East Coast swing, West Coast swing, I swear to you, you know what I mean. Until the midnight call of the jitterbug. Twisting our hips and locking our lips, swinging with you until the sun came up. Swinging with you until the night gave up.
Great read, Scott. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. All right, Gene, you got to start this one off.
This is a great piece. I loved how he did it to the music, and I thought they fit together very well, very well. And, you know, sometimes audio is when you put the music with them. Sometimes music is too loud, and you can't hear what's being said. This was a great balance between the two. And very enjoyable, and I loved all the memories. It was, again, another great reminiscent piece where, you know, you go back and you're looking at things in the past and just kind of replaying them. And they're so relatable to those of us in that same bracket, you know. So, and I thought it was just really well done. Really, really nice work, Charles. So thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Excellent. Thank you, Gene. All right, Dex. How about you?
Yeah, I enjoyed the fun and the sway of this one. I felt like his tone and his voice and his everything kind of caught the big band jazz feel to it. And he definitely was swinging with you in this piece. And you know what I really appreciate is when somebody takes a chance and does something outside of their comfort zone. And I feel like Scott did that here. So very well done.
Hey, I think you hit it right there on the head, Dex. Great comment. And I'll add in a little bit more. There's this kind of hits me on two modes. The big band era from the, I guess, from the late 30s through the 40s going into the 50s. But also, he hits the tone of voice he used came across to me as one of the other guys that we were talking about earlier in the late 50s, the big bopper. When was it? He opened up one of his, hello, baby. And he kind of ran that tone in here with the with some of the thoughts that he offered. But he kept going back to the big band era with the thoughts, I called you on my saxophone. But that played out as a 50s angle. The East Coast swing, West Coast swing was the juke of thought back then, as was the jitterbug. But and then again, swinging with you until the sun came up, swinging with you until the night gave up. There is that the note of the dance era when during the wars you'd have the dance offs, but it also hit on the thought of that went into the 50s as well. So I think it captured two ends because he led off with Happy Days, and Happy Days came out in the 70s, which is a reflection of the time in the 50s. So I think he hit two eras and slid nicely in between both of them. Thank you, Scott. All right, Gene.
Well,
we're coming back to you.
Okay.
Yeah, big boss.
Okay.
I'm not
well,
them that song. Shit,
my goodness. My ears can't keep up with you.
What, Chantilly Lace? Don't you remember that?
Oh,
Chantilly Lace,
okay.
Pretty face, ponytail, hanging down, a wiggle and a walk, a giggle and a talk. Oh, baby, that's what I like.
See, we even got Rex to sing tonight. That's amazing.
Well, that was the kind of tone Scott had in the piece, so it had me thinking of the Big Bopper. I couldn't resist with the thought of popping in there.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, well, the next piece I'm going to put up, I'm going to have Dexter read. Right? Dex, are you ready?
And I am. I am.
Here we go. You are. Whenever you're ready.
Well, thank you for posting this one. I appreciate this. The extra added to this is my dad called me today. And that is my grandfather in the picture. My dad called me today and said not only is it Father's Day, but it would have been his dad's 110th birthday. So the guy in the picture would have been 110 today. So a pair of muddy work boots to show for it. Deep in the dirt, my lineage's stretches through hard rock soil, surviving generations of late thaws and early frosts. Struggle runs through my veins like roots firmly planted. Black Sea German by blood and road traveled, from hands dusty and worn like used leather, wet from wiping broken promises, spit into a sunburned, tired face, like a hatchet buried into my shoulder blade. There's a steadfastness and a will to carry on, since sweat, the only security my blood has ever been able to call home. Been easy? Please. Put it like this. We've been married to hard work, and even marriage is hard work. End poem.
Great read, Dex. Thank you very much. All right, Gene, what you got for us?
You know, Dex, I loved this piece the first time I heard you read it. here, you wrote it a year ago. But as soon as I saw it, I'm like, I recognize this. Just a wonderful, wonderful story that you shared with us. And I thought that you did a fabulous job wording it and just giving enough details to really just pull us into it and to enjoy the piece. Just really well done. I really like it a lot. It's amazing. So awesome. Just like I said before, it was an excellent write. So I liked it.
Thank you, Phil.
Thanks for sharing.
Thank you, Phil.
I appreciate it,
Phil.
This is a reminder of those long roads traveled and those hardships that were put before us in our lineage before we got to now, where things are a whole lot easier than they were when your parents, your grandparents, and their great-grandparents came across, as you put down, Black Sea German, blood and road travel. The thought of hands dusty and worn like used leather. And that shows that the hardness and the back-breaking work that went on. And you even hit it again on that in that second to last stanza, like a hatchet buried into my shoulder blade. That is the stoop, the bend, the knot of hard work, the back-breaking work of tilling soil, digging ditches, making new roads, whatever, farming, the salt of the earth people, so to speak, those who did the building to make life what it is today. And how quickly they are forgotten, rendered into useless apparatus. Oh, well, they did what they had to do. Yeah, and what are you doing today besides TikToking and putting out that useless little bit of Twittery, so to speak? And I like the thought and the back angle in your last few lines, a little of a pun, so to speak. Been easy? Please put it like this. We've been married to hard work. And even marriage is hard work. The double of sort of in the back end with a little bit of humor tied into it. Nicely done.
Thank you all. And like I said, this was an important piece, and I'm glad that I could be here for Father's Day. And I didn't realize it until my dad called me today and said, yeah, that he would have been 110 years old on this day. It happened to be on Father's Day. So happy Father's Day to all.
Damn.
And you know, Doug, if you look at it.
And that was a great picture of him, too.
He may have been 110 years old today, but if you look at it, you wrote it 1 year ago, and it was your 200th poem. So it was a kind of a landmark thing for you then. So I think that's kind of
interesting. Yeah, well, that is a great point. You know what I mean? And it's just always, poetry always works out like that, doesn't it? Where it just, you know, it happens to be meaningful at that time, and it continues to be meaningful, you know? So I'm just happy about it. So thank you for letting me read it.
Oh, we'd love to see things like this. They hold memories, and they're sharp and powerful.
You should print that up and put it in a frame, hang it in your house. That would be a wonderful thing for you.
I agree. I love that picture so much. It just reminds me of Graves of Wrath. You know, my dad, I guess he wasn't the best of people, but it just reminds me of a time lost, kind of, you know, so it just is an important one.
Well, not only put that for yourself, you should make a copy with that picture in it and give it to your father to hang on his wall. I think that
few poems that I have showed him, and he loves this one. So
great.
I appreciate it all.
Absolutely. Okay, guys. Yeah, that'd be a neat gift to you. Okay. Quiet up. Keep going off track. Okay. I'll read the next one. and this is called My Hero by Rose Winter 5.5. Happy Father's Day. Beautiful pianist and marvelous singer. A wonderful voice so kind, singing with happiness to spread the joy of the world. Helping everyone loved and admired his voice of music. Eclectic and electric. Happy Father's Day. Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart's Ein Klein Max Music. A special piece with verve and enthusiasm. And poem, I believe. Oh, no. Always encourages my musical ambition to sing with him. A melodious Happy Father's Day. And poem.
Oh. Yeah, Eugene, I might have missed that, too. But he does hit on Ina Klein and Nach music, a little night music. That's a nice piece. And then Mendelssohn's The Hebrides, Fingal's Cave Overture. But, yeah, I'm glad you kept going down because there is that little touch at the end. Nice piece, Rose,
right.
And quite the thought, your hero, your father, and the fact that a pianist and a singer, so more Father's Day and singing joy on that day with him. So happy Father's Day, Rose. And Dex, how about you?
Yeah, I really enjoyed this piece, and I really love it, you know, and one thing that I really love, too, is not only obviously Father's Day, but is the art to carry on, you know, and art, you know, it's amazing how much art and culture carry down, you know, from parents. You know, people can sit there and say that it's the outside world that does this, but at the end of the day, it's like, you know, as adults, we always end up following back to those great songs that we used to listen to around the house. And I love it when I hear that, you know, even though it's a little bit before my father's time and before what we used to listen to, it is enjoyable for me to listen to that Mozart and these different classical music artists are carried on and are appreciated, and it does move generations. So very well done.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Dex, because you look at it even today, the sorts of Eddie Van Halen, his parents were musically inclined, McCartney the same way, Keith Emerson was brought up on classical music, as was Carl Palmer and Rick Wakeman back in the day. So things do pass on generationally, but they change and move into a little bit bits of other realms. That's what makes the music grow. So great comment. And Gene, how about you?
You know, I thought it was a nicely penned piece and a great piece for Father's Day. I have one more button. And I, you know, I really enjoyed it. And I thought that Rose had done a Rose had done a wonderful job you know, I enjoyed it very much, and I think that it was just well put together and a great nod of her head to her dad, you know, and the music that he enjoyed, that she enjoys as well now. So, wonderful work.
All right. So, where might we now venture?
I kind of got scared. I thought I was on mute all the time, but you didn't say anything, so I must have known better.
Or shall we be
bad? We did that already. Okay, I'm going to put up another piece. The next one I was going to put up was by Stephen, but he said he was calling in, so I don't want to have anybody read it just in case he shows up. So the next one I'm going to put up is by Marius Alexander, and I have a sound set for that. So let me hit the button.
I can see the beauty in the sunrise, in the breeze, in the ocean's whispers, in the smile of a child in his beautiful eyes, in all the trees dancing along the rivers. I can feel the love in every hug, in every kiss. Your candid look, your gentle touch, fills my soul with joy and bliss. I enjoy life. Is this too much? I can hear music, angel choirs, birds singing in the forest and mountains, the sunset crying in seraphic fires, torrents of blessing from the old fountains. I can taste the goodness of this wonderful world. Full of faith and hope, I can see the bright future. I refuse to be drowned to fear and to be hurt. With colors of love, I paint the world a wonderful picture.
Great read, Marius. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. All right, Gene, why don't you give this a tick? But you got to unmute yourself.
You start over. Yeah. I almost got away with it. I thought this was just a very beautiful write. Wonderful thoughts throughout. And I think his choice of song was just, you know, fabulous. You know, what a wonderful world. I mean, it was just a beautiful tape on the prompt. And I think that his words were just so well written. And his imagery was, and it was just a wonderful, wonderful piece. And so thank you, Marius, for that. I really enjoyed it very much.
Absolutely. Thank you, Gene. And Dex, how about you?
Yeah, I think that this is a fantastic piece. And oddly, you know, it's my cousin, but it's his grandfather, so it's relatives kind of me. They really, their whole family really connects to that. What a wonderful world. And they connect it to their grandfather. And so when that song connects to a certain person or it's once again, music kind of really connecting. And I can feel the love in every hug, in every kiss, your candid look, gentle touch. You know, there's something just connected in the senses of this one that, you know, if you close your eyes and listen to it read, it is a wonderful picture. So very well done.
Nice touch there, Dex. That was a great comment. And you're right. If you did, if you do that, you do get that sense of beauty in the moment that you might heave off because it's always there, so to speak. Because there's some great lines in this, like the sunset crying in seraphic fires, torrents of blessings from the old fountains. There's some great thoughts in that. And I can taste the goodness of this wonderful world, full of faith and hope. I see the bright future. I refuse to be drawn to fear and be hurled. With colors of love, I paint the world a wonderful picture. There's a nice note of positivity of great things to come, which is, quite needed at this moment in time. So nice to have this back again there, Marius. Thank you very much. All right, Gene. Back to you.
Okay. Well, the next one I'm going to put up is by Jaskaran, and I have an audio for that as well. EJ, I'm telling you, I wish you would call in and just tell us your comments, because they're wonderful comments.
Yeah, she's running up some great stuff, so thank you for the boy. But yeah, one day, please call in.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would love to hear, you know, her vocalize these comments. So, okay, so the next one I have is, as I said, by Jaskaran. So let me put that up. And this is called When It's About to Rain, Blows from Mom. Okay. Oh, wait. When It's About to Rain, Blows from Mom, I Scout for My Dad. Okay, sorry about that. I had to pull it together. Okay, here we go.
7 days, any dreams. Red burning, bending the wounds, burning a mineral oil. Skin shedding, like a rocket operating. He with tender hand, turned a mirror sword. Thousand wishes scattered in the wind, peace for dating. When a dad sang, those difficult device for me. I cozy tucked in, the bomb could be over there. The beyond world, submerged in his intoxicating voice, what lilies dancing. Bogging a leg, tangently in a sea, putting a fishes in a cesta. When he said the things to my eyes, I hugged the stars and wondered, a sun wondered figures. When I went out to face the world, you tapped my shoulders, I said, I had you back. I said, like ending into the waters, embracing the shore, the oysters falling, and my green same things. Embark on an audacious journey around the world. Happy birthday, Pa. Love you.
Great read, Jaskaran. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. All right, Dex, how about you? What do you think?
You know, I thought that what was incredible is that his in-depth description of this entire thing, and from what initially thought would be a language barrier, because I can't speak a different language, and from this entire piece, this in-depth read, I soared like empty gentle wavelets, embracing the shore, the oysters falling at my green flame themes, to embark on an audacious journey around the world. You know, he captured what it is to be a male species in a sense, to go out and to find, you know. There's somebody that said it, why men struggle so much with finding themselves, because women already are. Men have to find their way to being. To be become, and I thought he captured this so well.
That's a great comment there, Dex. Thank you very much. All right, Gene, how about you? You got on mute, though.
Whatever. Damn.
Hey,
I know. I know. That's what gets me. You get me every time. I thought this was a beautiful tribute to his dad, and I thank him for sharing his memories with us all. I thought it was wonderful work, and I really enjoyed it. You know, he spoke in such a way that you don't usually hear son to father, and I thought that was wonderful because really. There's nothing wrong with it. I think it's wonderful. And, I enjoyed hearing that. It's a little bit of a softer side, and I enjoyed that very much. So great job, Jaskaran, and thank you so much for sharing with us tonight. Great job.
Great job there, Gene. And you're right. This is a grand, almost epic piece, so to speak. You look at those first two stanzas that leads into that nice warmth in that third stanza. When my dad sang those decrypted lullabies for me, I cozily tugged in the warm crotch of his lap, the benumbed world submerged in his intoxicating voice, water lily leaves dancing, bobbing on the lake, tranquility reigning in the sea, putting the fishes in a siesta. Then when he swayed the swings to new heights and hugged the stars and planted a sunburned lipstick kiss. What a great thought to that. And then that's the youth angle of this. And then he hits on the back. When I went out to face the world, you tapped on my shoulders and whispered, I have your back. And in that moment, you get that grand epic ending. I soared like empty gentle waves embracing the shore, the oysters falling at my green Glen Thames to embark on an audacious journey around the world. What a grand finish from a youthful angle with the lullabies right through, hey, you got this. I got your back. Go out and face the world as it is, and you'll be okay. Nicely done, Jessica Ann. All right, team. Coming up back to you.
Okie dokie. The next one we're going to put up, again, is an audio. And this is by Richard Weissman. So let me that button. And here we go.
Paterfamilias by Richard Weissman. Mirrored image, careful gliding blade from foam white cheek to jawline, as ice blue eyes singing rang my ears. I'm headed for a land that's far away beside the crystal fountain. That was over 45 years ago. And him now gone 11, though his mind receded with face half frozen long before. And Kurtz, the Hollow Men, and Ozymandias, they tattoo my mind still, driving pen forward in tar horse continuance. And I'll see you all this coming fall in the Big Rock Candy Mountain.
Great read, Richard. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. All right, Gene, why don't you kick us off?
You know, this is a wonderful piece by Richard, at such a brevity compared to most everything else I've read of this. What wonderful memories to look back on, you know, different, I don't know, you know, it's just the wonders of thinking back to those younger years and, you know, the memories you have with your father or your mother or, you know, whoever today's having to be Father's Day, so I'll go there. And I think that it was just a fabulous piece. And I said, you know, the ending there, I see you coming all this coming fall in the Big Rock Candy Mountain. You know, it says down here, written in 2019 for his father. Big Rock Candy Mountain was the first recorded by Harry McClintock in 1928. Most of my work is extremely layered, but due to the subject matter, I strove for childlike simplicity and melancholy beauty. And I think that that's really what he achieved. I think it was just perfect. And I had a wonderful job. So thank you, Richard, very much for that.
Excellent. Thank you, Gene. And Dex, how about you?
Yeah, I really loved this piece by Richard. And what I really loved about it a lot, a lot of his are sometimes about a historical figure. But to tie in that picture, you know, and I don't mean to be biased, but it just brings so much more out sometimes into the poem. And to see little Richard, you know, what Richard sitting there on his dad's lap, and to say he's been 11 years gone, and to tie it into that song, Some images and some feelings just will never go away. And I think he captured that here in this poem.
Excellent. Thank you. All right, where is it? Where'd you go? Ah, there you go. I like the background music, too, and the thought he dropped in a couple of lines. I'm headed for land that's far away besides the Crystal Fountain and the finishing. I'll see you all this coming fall in the Big Rock Candy Mountains. I don't know the song, but I heard glimmers of it in the background. It's kind of familiar. But he also hits on right in the middle, Kurtz, the Hollow Man, and Ozymandias. Notes to T.S. Eliot, Joseph Conrad, and Shelley. They tattoo my mind still, driving pen forward and tall horse continuous. And that note with the I'll see you all this coming fall in the Big Rock Candy Mountains. And I like the ice blue eyes singing rang my ears. A nice touch up front. Great piece, Richard. Thank you. All right, Gene.
Okay. Well, I'm going to put the next piece up by Sonia, 3902Z. And I'm going to read this one. And, I'm winding down here. Okay, this is called You Are My Sunshine, My Only Vitamin D by Sonia.
You got to do it. You got to sing it.
Oh, no, I'm not. Nice try, though. I can leave it for you. The other night, dear, as I lay snoring, I dreamed I held you with all your charms. But when I awoke, dear, I was all alone. So I hung my head upside down in bed and cried. You are my sunshine, my only vitamin D. You make me happy when skies are crying. You'll never know, dear, how much I need you. Please don't take my sunshine away.
Uh-oh. Gene, where'd you go? Gene? Did she get bounced?
I know. It sounded like it. You'll never know, dear, how much I need you. Please don't take my sunshine away from the rain. I'll always tickle you and make you laugh if you will only do the same. But if you leave me for another, you'll regret it till your dying day. You are my sunshine, my only vitamin D. You make me happy when skies are crying. You'll never know, dear, how much I need you. Please don't make my sunshine dance away. You told me once, dear, you really adore me, and no one else could come between us. But now you've left me for a short and bald bank robber. You have buried all of my dreams into the ground, lost forever and never to be found. End poem.
Oh, great read there, Dex. Thank you very much. Oh, I like the back end of this. And she offered up in the answer. My dad played this on his harmonica, so why not make a parody out of it just so Dad could enjoy that? That's as well as offering up a little tidbit of fun as well. I like the thought, you are my sunshine, my only vitamin D. That's quite the post. Yeah, I'd rather have sunshine than rain, so to speak. But the thought on the back end of this was classic. But now you've left me for a short ball bank robber. You've buried all my dreams in the ground, lost since forever, never to be found. Oh, so your sunshine is a short ball bank robber? Oh, that's funny. Oh, you got to read that. What'd you think?
Well, I thought it was fantastic. There's only so many ways that you can go with You Are My Sunshine, you know? So it in my mind, I was thinking this is kind of a limited ceiling, I guess you could say, on this poem, and she actually broke through. I had never expected it to end this way, and so I thought that she did a fantastic job in exceeding what the limited arrangements initially thought were.
Oh, you're right. And the funny part is, You could have sung this too. It does have the right ringing note within it. So, Gene, are you back?
I am back. And just for the record, okay, Dex only read half of that. I read part of it before I got dumped. But that's okay. Wow. Every night my phone does the same thing right around the same time. It just drops. I don't quite get it, but I thought this was a great piece by Sonia. I thought that it was neat how she did that. She said, my dad played this on his harmonica. So she wrote that, you know, with him in mind. And I thought that it was a great job. Great job. Nice nod to her dad.
Yeah. And a classic bit of fun to boot.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of fun. Oh, my God. So many intriguing thoughts in there. Okay, so, look, I got about three pieces left, maybe two. But I want to put this up for you, Rex, and I have
right.
On the other ones are probably going to get carried over. So here we go. This is the Outcast.
Oh, wait a minute. This one, too. This is pending, too.
Oh, well, never mind. We're good. Let me go back over here. And let me grab this one. Okay.
Hang on, quick. I'll get you food in a minute. Oh yeah,
this
is this for me?
Yes, sir.
Dad's Favorite Band by Chris Bond. Dear Dad, he worshipped Queens, like the Beatles and Stones. Not that impressed by the Doors. Thought Nirvana just made a racket. Dear Dad, I remember his record collection, flicking through the vinyl LPs. Through him, I discovered Electric Light Orchestra and inherited his love of Queen. God bless him. End poem. Nice, Chris. All right, Dex, over to you.
Well, once again, though, you know, this music theme keeps playing itself into Dad. And the way that Dad lives on, you know, Dad lives on maybe not always because of discipline or maybe not only just because of his genes moving on, but because of his artistic and his songs living on. And I thought that he captured this well.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dex. Gene, how about you?
Yeah, I think this is another excellent nod to Chris's dad. You know, and it was exactly what you were looking for. What's your dad's favorite song, you know? I mean, he didn't give you a song, but he gave you quite a few choices there. And his first answer was great, you know. Dear Dad, he worshipped Queen, liked the Beatles and the Stones. Not that impressed with the Doors. I thought Nirvana just made a racket. You know, I thought that was just a great way to start this. But then in the second stanza, I can't even ignore that because through him I discovered Electric Light Orchestra and inherited his love of Queen. You know, his father passed that love of music on to him. And I think that's kind of what it's about today, isn't it? You know, sharing and learning from your father, you know, that. And I think that was a beautiful job, Chris, and thanks for sharing that with us.
I do too. Chris does love Queen, and there's Chris notes in here though. His father liked the Beatles, the Stones, Electric Light Orchestra. Wonder what else he had wandering around in that collection of vinyl LPs, which are worth their weight in gold these days if you got the right stuff. And I like that thought with Nirvana and not impressed by the Doors. That was a humorous note as well. But as Dex said, the inheritor thought with his love of Queen is passed down generationally. And, hey, Chris always tunes in and joins the contest because, hell, we bring him new music to dribble into his conscience, which he enjoys as well. So nicely done, Chris, and thank you very much. All right, Gene, we're back on you.
Well, that's it for that's all, folks.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I mean, the only one that wasn't pending and sitting there was Steven 76. So we've gone through the whole board. And, yeah, so what a great night of poetry. Great,
absolutely.
Great idea for tonight.
And, well, and a great thought on Father's Day with some fun, some puns, and some humor to run around, as well as some sad thoughts and some happy thoughts. So great piece to play with Father's Day. So happy Father's Day, everybody, while it's still here. You've got another 5 minutes yet. And, oh, what you got coming up next week? What you got coming up Tuesday?
I don't know. Nobody told me. Nobody tells me.
You're a twisted sister.
I know we got twisted sisters just coming up. Tomorrow night we have,
as Jack said, you, Naomi, and Pam are, what won't she call, your majesties, the twisted sisters.
Well, we've been called worse, I'm sure. But tomorrow is the Garden of Enlightenment with Gray Eye Smith, and Lu Yu will not be with them, I don't believe. She's actually in the hospital with her foot. So hopefully she's feeling better. And Lu, you're constantly in my thoughts. I hope you get out of there quick. So anyone who can give a call in, be much appreciated. Tuesday, I just opened up the board, and it's Twisted Tuesdays, Doors, Papers, and Picnics. So it looks like Pam is running the show. So Beyond the Door, The Art of Paper Cut. Looks like this will be a carryover show, which is wonderful. Wednesday, oh, God, I don't know whose show it is on Wednesday. Pam, I'm sure it's going to be a good one.
Naomi and Pam Central show normally.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, something around gold.
Yes, Gold Rush.
Wednesday, it's something around gold.
Yes, you are correct. There's a lot of great images up there for that. And anybody who wants to put one in, I'm sure Pam and Naomi would be happy to accept it. Thursday we have In Our Craft and So on Art with Richard Weissman and Neutron Bomb. So anyone who's interested in that, I'm sure there's a topic board somewhere around for it. I'm not sure what that one is either. Well, In Our Craft and So on Art, hey, there it is right in front of me. This is inspired by Margaret Atwood. Do not know Margaret Atwood, but there is a topic board up, so anyone who's interested in writing for it, just take a peek. And Thursday night is Into the Darkness. Is that right, Rex? With Pam and Rex?
I do. I think so. Hey, I got lost too, so.
And I'm sure there's a board up for that as well. And I didn't mean to skip over Margaret. Tomorrow night after midnight, we have Rex and Pam, not to be confused with Pam and Rex. And what's your topic tomorrow night, Rex?
That was something. Well, oh, it was on, it was, what do you say to these lips? Some quotes from Mick Jagger.
Ah, okay. Mick Jagger quotes. There you go. Sounds like a fun one.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
I thought he might have some funky little things. I mean, life is just a cocktail party on the streets. I got nasty habits. I take tea at 3. Dandelions don't tell no lies. It's all right letting yourself go as long as you get yourself back. As long as my face is on page 1, I don't care what they say about me on page 17. My secrets must be poetic to be believable. And then there was it. I haven't had time to plan returning to the scene because I haven't left it.
awesome stuff. So there you go. You heard it from Rex himself. Do a board up yet, Rex? Anyone who wants, they can look up the board and throw a piece on there for them. That would be much appreciated. Okay. So, wonderful show tonight, Rex. Wonderful show. Dex, thanks for calling in and hanging with us all night. I much appreciated that. And, yeah. So, I guess that's about sums it up there, bud.
Yes, it was. Great evening, Gene. Happy Father's Day again. Randy, thank you for calling in, spending time with Dex. Thank you for hanging out with us. It was fun. And EJ for the board, Marius for the board. Thank you very much, gang. Pleasure to see you all again. We'll see you all next week. So have a wonderful evening, everybody. And good night.
You too. Great night, Rex. Happy Father's Day again. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.